Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Oh,
shit.
Sarah, cool Sarah, yeah, roll off in sea, baba wa.
Sarah, cool Sarah, yeah, roll off in sea, baba wa.
Sarah, cool Sarah,
yeah, roll off in sea, baba wa.
Thank you.
papa, Shango papa. Hey, papa, papa. Shango papa. Shango me fa, eh me fa me fa, Shango me fa, me fa me fa, Shango me fa, me fa me fa, Shango me fa.
Brother Wisdom. Just a reminder that we are in the sixth sun, the sixth dimensional sun, the sixth ether sun. Okay? And we're dealing with some crazy dominant energies that are absolutely powerful in every way that you could possibly think of. You should keep in mind that we are organic machines and we are natural weapons of cosmic order and order of nature. Our bodies were designed to operate on the highest possible level that can ever be known. It is important that we keep ourselves sharp, that we keep ourselves in alignment with nature and the cosmos. It is important that we remain in the place of absolute power. It is important for us to understand, overstand, understand that we have the power over their controlling factors that they created. We're dealing with a species who came from a totally different universe to force their universal rules, laws, regulations upon us. And we have to keep in mind and remember that their universal regulations have no bearing on our universe. That's the whole key about this whole setup here. Because they created something in a place where they don't belong, we must open our minds and see that we are the creators of this universe, this galaxy, this planet, the solar system. There's no God. The one who called himself God is the one who knew that there are many gods of this world. And it's up to us as the original people to bring ourselves back into the balance of nature and power. This is the only way that we're going to take ourselves to the next level, to ascend, to move into the sixth sun, the sixth moon, the sixth power, the sixth dimensional nature. Understand the numbers and how powerful they are. We are organic machines. We are the original computer programs. We are beings of cosmic intelligence. We once raised ourselves above the standards that mankind has set for us to follow, because what he designed for us to follow is against the laws of our nature, the laws of our planet. We no longer have to remain slaves, but we have to return back to the warrior stage that we came from. And this warrior stage is a very powerful stage that we come from, because we were born beings of war. We didn't sit our programs down, but there was an invasion. That was an invasion in our planet. And that was an insertion of a virus program that caused us to fall. Because you got to remember, everything is programmed. These so-called white folk on our planet are artificial intelligence. These are all programs. So we must reactivate the original programs that we were created from. Therefore, we go beyond the concept of just controlling what they call the elements and the forces, and we go into the power of thought, where therefore we think and it happens automatically, immediately, right there in front of us. This is what brings fear to our enemies. When you're on an absolute supreme level of the nature of the cosmos, and you know who the fuck you are, and you rip them into pieces without using one finger, they know who we are. They know what we're about. They just don't want us to awaken. Like we said before, this is why they got the agenda, the vaccine, the COVID, the money, all these businesses giving out money in buku numbers, just to keep the original people asleep. Oh, you need to buy food, you need to buy gas, you need to buy this, you need to go this, you need to do this, you need to do this. From one extreme to the other goddamn extreme. It is up to us, my people, to take ourselves to this next level. Each individual being of carbon. It is your duty. It's your due diligence. It's your power. Everything belongs to you. There is nothing that has no power within our species as the original people on the planet. There is nothing that has no power. We are absolute power. We are supreme beings. We are supreme deities. We are celestial bodies. Don't let these artificial beings come and say, well, how can I help? What can I do to help? You can't do anything. Your species, your forefathers have done enough. Just to give you a recap, their species come from the planet Nirn, N-I-R-N, come from the planet Nirn, from the Mundus galaxy, the Magnus star system, the Zeta universe. And they made a haji to our planet to take over our resources, to take over us, to control everything on this planet within this realm. It is up to us as original people to awaken ourselves to this type of knowledge. And it's up to us to take back everything that belongs to us that they took away from us. This entire planet belongs to us. While they got their money system and their other systems, their virus programs and whatever else all set up on the planet, it is time for us to reestablish everything, because we are creators. We are builders. We're architects. We're designers. We're the original people. We're warriors. Our bodies were created for war, to literally link into every level of power known across the cosmos. Remember that. Golden warriors, It's who we are. And it is up to us to return to that state of mind, to that state of being, to that concept of knowledge. Do not fill your mind up with what the white man is doing. Fill your mind up with what you have to do as the original people. Fill your mind up with the nature of the cosmos. How can I take myself to this next level? How can I increase my magnetism? How can I increase my electricity? How can I increase the powers within me? How can I pull in this energy? We've got, when we're coming up with the sixth sun, you got to remember we got massive amounts of photon energy. Photon energy is the most powerful of all energies because we're dealing with cosmic light. When we're talking about photon energy, we're talking about something that's even more powerful than plasma energy. Photon energy, you're dealing with pure cosmic light and cosmic darkness at the same time. And this is what the sixth sun is all about. Cosmic light, cosmic darkness. Now it's time for us to take ourselves back to that place of absolute and supreme power, absolute and supreme energy, absolute everything. It is up to us to bring ourselves back to that state of being. It is up to us, my people. It is up to each and every individual. It is up to us to take ourselves back to this level of power, this level of knowledge, to link back into who we are supposed to be as the original people of this world, as original beings. We've fallen behind too far. But remember, it will take no time for us to get ourselves back into place. I give you this message now. Hope you understand, understand all of this. Because we're at the point of absolute return. And our enemies know this. They know that we're at the point of returning to absolute self, absolute power, absolute energy. They know who we are. They know what we're about. It's just all of our people who have got to reawaken ourselves. We're going to war, but we're going to war with the wrong motherfuckers. We're going to war with each other. Because the virus program told us that the only way to fight is to fight each other. We got to beat the virus. Anytime you got a virus in your system, the virus works against the body. So it's time for us to make the virus work for the body. You must enter yourself and change the entire dynamics of everything that you think you are and go into everything that you know you are. We are absolute power, absolute energy, absolute knowledge. We are the all. We are nature. We are everything. We are nothing. We are the most powerful beings to ever walk this planet. We conquer all. Nothing can conquer us when we're in our positions of absolute power and self. There is nothing that can conquer us. Therefore, all of the forces will work on behalf of us just with a single thought. You are plasma. You're electricity. You're magnetism. You're earth, wind, water, fire. Your laser, your sonic sounds. You are everything, and everything is who you are. You must remember that, my people. We have come way too far for us to not know. We are absolute supreme beings. We are the original technology. We are intelligence. And we must carry that ourselves in that manner. I give this message to you in whole heart, mind and soul. You conquer everything within your path. Your white police officers want to stop you. Why are you on my planet? Why are you on my planet? I am that I am. Young Patrick told me. He says they wanted to put him in a facility because he said that I am that I am. And then the nurse says to him, well, who are you in this realm? Because she understood. We have to be multi-dimensional beings, multi-dimensional realms. We must be everything, and we must be everyone. I carry this message on to you guys. Whole heart. All power to the multi-chakra, celestial, angelic beings. May chaos reign with you forever and ever. Much power to you all.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Greetings, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Motivational Classroom. I'm your host, Peru. And as you guys always know, I'm joined with the Ear family. We got Auntie LJ in the building, as well as Brother Eternal. And today, guys, we are going to be talking about the Orishas today, right? So the Orishas, everybody knows the Orishas to be also known as the seven African powers. I'm going to be reading out of a book today called Grasping the Root of Divine Power. I put the link to purchase this particular book in the show notes, guys, because when it comes to African spirituality, this is a great book. Shout out to Chief Yuya, who wrote this book, who took me under his wing when I was early on in my journey and needed guidance. You know, that I didn't have no direction, and what did he do? He gifted me to his actual university. He has an online university, the Tadulu House, and he actually gifted me a tuition to his university, y'all. So, you know, shout out to him. You know, I've learned a lot when it came to African spirituality. But, grasping the root of the divine power, you know, it talks about many different avenues, you know, when it comes to spirituality, guys. This is a great book. So be sure that you guys, purchase this book and check it out. You know, what is divination? It teaches you about, you know, sage, the importance of sage. It teaches you about the RE, you know what I'm saying, the RE, the many faces of the OBI. The cola nut, you know, it's another way of doing readings as well, like with the shells. And I'm pretty sure, you know, the Ear family is going to expound on what I'm saying, because I still to this day don't understand all of the aspects of this particular book. But if you guys are wanting to understand African spirituality, this book is definitely a great one for you to have for your library. All right, guys. So reading from this book, Orisha is a selected consciousness within the realm of supreme intelligence. All things in the universe are aware, animate, even those that are inorganic, all right? Everything has consciousness. There are universal energies that govern the laws and character of the cosmos. These are called Orisha. Orisha are the divine energies represented through nature's force. So, again, we also know them as the seven African powers. And also it goes on to say there are spirits of the ocean, which is Yima. Correct, y'all, correct me later because I'm a butcher some of these names. You got Ogun, which is the forest. You got Opportunity, which is Ashu. You got Love, which is Ashun. You got Leadership, which is Shango. You got Death, which is Oya. And Wisdom, which is Abasala. Chief Yaya was telling me that as far as my spirit is concerned, I'm more in resonance with Abasala is what he was saying early on in my journey. So Abasala is one that I fancy. That was utilized and interact with daily. All of these Orisha's energies work in correlation for the purpose of the whole unified consciousness. So, guys, my biggest question was, the Orishas, were they real people, you know, that once walked the earth? Or are these just universal energies? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people actually discredit the Orishas, you know, because they say that we are not to worship any type of deity, you know, like Jesus Christ or something like that. It's like we give our power away to these Orishas versus, you know, attempting to create our own, you know what I'm saying? So if we have these deities that are, you know, ancient and, you know, like, what are we doing in our now, you know, to be ourselves, you know what I'm saying? So there's kind of an argument in the worship, but I feel that it's definitely energies to familiarize yourself with as you grow in your spirituality. So I know Auntie and Eternal both have a lot to say about the Orishas and actually refer to them a lot. So we're going to go ahead and bring in Auntie LJ. Auntie, peace and love onto you.
Peace and love. Greetings to everyone that is listening now and that will be listening in the future. Hey, I'm here. How are you? How's the panel and listeners? I'm over here tongue-tied a little bit, battling this sinus.
Oh, you're fine.
Still, so.
You're fine. I'm here just as well, you know.
Well, I see you started the show off with gratitude and adoration to the energy of the Orishas and the energy of who we are. We are them and they are us.
Mm-hmm.
They were human. They made mistakes. They found out the hard way. And they taught what they learned, a.k.a. experience. And once energy is created, it is forevermore. Now, how do you, the individual, deal with the energy? How do you, the individual, process the energy? And this is why rite of passage is so very important, because in rite of passage, it is the school of you learning you from an elder who has paved the way. What better keys is that? That's almost a cheat sheet for the test. But we're not taught how to use it because we don't have rite of passage. So we bumble and we fumble along the way, and that's okay because that may be the lesson preparing us for the test. However, I would much rather have a cheat sheet. I'm not going to lie. That could be ego, but I'm honest. I'm definitely honest. So the things that I find out about me that are so familiar and near and dear to my heart, even in the lower vibratory spaces, I have to acknowledge that it's not just me that has felt this way, and it will not be just me that feels this way. The keys that I have is how long do I allow myself to feel it at all, positive or negative. And so in that, We have to understand that our hurts don't have to hurt as long as we deem that we got the lesson, we can release it, a.k.a. let it go. And things that feel good, you allow them to feel good with the understanding that greed of any kind or too much of anything will begin to hurt you, a.k.a. the same thing that makes you laugh makes you cry. But good morning. Let's get at it.
All right. We got Eternal also in the building. Peace on to you, brother. How you feeling this rising?
Peace and love, Eternal. And to you.
Greetings. How are y'all feeling today?
Greetings. Feeling all right? Navigating. We here.
Yeah, this is... Say it again. We're here. Yeah, that's right. We're here. Now, here, nowhere. Now, here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great topic. We're speaking on the seven connection, the powers of creation. That's the whole connection of what the Afri and Afra and Afrikan, the comedic actual concept. We've been from the longest of generations speak of worshiping, sacrifice, and honorship. And when we find out mostly that a lot of our parents' parents did a lot of sacrifice without going deep in detail, not realizing that some of these things in the beginning, their grandparents or great-grandparents were actually honored. So now we're at a stigma or stipulation in the stagnation of how our nation is being stagged by stag gods. And stag gods are more like stage gods. So omens to the Odun, we see the connection of what Wudun, as we say the word, as Oba, being one who takes the vanity off the face and now show that it wasn't about the vanity. It was how in vain we were about ourselves to a point in our body. And so body parts. These all are the descriptions of the seven being as the orishas, being also the same as saying your chakras. And there's more than seven, of course. That's just to give you a general form to start at least the opening door or window that we have to explore of the 144,000 energies that's in our body, in the meridians of the 12 times 12. How do we not know what seven is as it being invisible? But we are connected by the seven planets as well. So as we say, eight and nine would be the sun and the moon that makes us nine in the injection of how outside, inside, as above, so as below, as also what is etheric as space. And this is where the Trinity comes from. This is where the Legba comes from. This is where we hear about Tahuti and Trismegistus or Hermes. How do we see the Gemini? How do we see the Dionysus, which we see as the Dinosaurus? We made a Dinosaurus out of this connection of what a sar is. And the Dianos is connected to Tainos. And so you hear Tianos, the connection of our Cubanos, our Poriqua, Haiti, Honduras, all of these mixtures of what did people use to keep themselves from their lower self to their higher self, and what was it that kept them at a spiritual grounding self? You know, because you have a spiritual grounding. Most people will say they have a spiritual truth, yet it'll be like unblocked by knowing, you know what I mean? And some of us don't see your spiritual truth. So it's only for your eyes to see and your ears to hear with. So now there's a subjective and objective towards what truth is. Even though truth is undying and it never changes, only we change towards the truth. So now what is true has to be where the subjective and objective starts to play its part. And now we say separation or duality from the dual will always be the Dwarters or the Dwats, of what we say, dial ourselves back into ourselves from a shadow to a light of ourselves. Example, as a Choshi, one who sees the light coming from the dark. Now, why do we speak of the Orishas? Well, we speak of wanting to get back further than where we are now in the present. A brother said to me, I even listened to the brother last night, a brother named Duke of Tears, named Asir, his nomination. He basically shows that he's doing what his conscience tells him to do. And because our conscience tells us to do certain things, we had an influence by religion and religious. And when we say religion, it's like a point where someone just gave you a relay or a relay, and all you're doing is relaying it. So now it's about P and player and S and slayer. Yet at the same time, when we're looking at religious is how you brush your teeth because you don't want your teeth to fall out. So now it's a point of, the interjection of how you interject yourself as you eject yourself. This is what ejaculation is about, by Jack and Jacob's ladder. The Jacob's ladder is the Jaku going up the seven ladder scale, the seven eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and how to center yourself, what we call pillars of Jehudi. We're known as the Jed as a pillar. Now, of course, it sounds like I'm going around in circles. However, Alegba represents what Tehudi does, and that's basically give us the sigils or symbols. And the more we see it, whether it's any type of connection, whether it's Shiva or Buddha himself, how do we see the rainbow bodies? How do we connect back to the rainbow bodies? Now, we've seen the giant heads and certain things that's real artifacts that's proven us that things are older than what it really is. Like the Sphinx, we know as the Harn Akhen, that sits in front of the pyramid. It shows you that through a flood, the water and the irrigation shows that sarcophagus of the actual lioness body, lioness head and the lion body, we wouldn't think of a lioness, we would think of a lion. And so this is why there's a lot of, we didn't see it coming. And so now we got to see it differently, not through our eyes, but also through our nose and our ears and our mouth and our hands. That gives us the touch of how do we hear it, feel it, taste it, touch it. And now there's the empathy and sympathy. This is why Ramadan is by Rama and not just, by them giving it a different name. This aspect is the saying of the Ra and Heru. We know Heru is Shango. So we know Ra would have to be the father to Shango. So now we like to think of Ra. We actually think of Ra as we say Obatala. So now when we say Obatala, we're saying how Shango is in the connection of Ra. How do they connect? When Ra manifests concept of Heru, so now as a concept of the head as Aries, same thing as Obatala being the head, same thing as Heru being the heart as a Leo, same thing as Heru being the connection from your head to your heart. How do you see your hips? And that's where the other H factor, the Sekhmet, the Yamaya, how does that connect back to Aset? When you bring Aset back in, it's past your stomach. Most people can't see it because they got bellyache, stomach problems. So that's why it's the point of how to fill your body up with the right nutrition that associate shows us how to eat the right foods, the herbs, the naturalness that basically – if there was a deity, let's just say, if it was about life, would you be into it as much to say that you're a childlike or you're childish as you're learning how your body gets imperfection by certain things? The brother said, there's a tree that you can eat from that gives you poison, but then there's another tree not too far from it that gives you the antidote. This is where you will start to know your childish and childlike ability. When there's another brother told me just a minute ago, he said, I was looking into my future, and all I saw was a blank page. Does that mean I'm dead? And I was saying to him, no, it doesn't mean you're dead, but it also means the Jed. So the Jed represents dead. It also represents turning into a new leaf, a new page, a page that doesn't have answers yet. So sometimes when we see a blank page, we're thinking the negative, but it could also be a positive. This is your time to say, just like religion, there was religious before religion. So now, what is it that you devoted your time into constantly? And you've been doing this constantly anyway. So you've been getting up just like how people get up for military. They get up only to work for military, so their time is more like seconds. That's why second is also in section. So when you put the SEC, it still represents second, not your first, your second to your thoughts. So now your imagination is greater. Just how great is it when you use it with other things? So now that's the purpose of how do we use a Bacalot, what represents unity? How do you know about a Legba, which represents that cross that most people did when they actually said they crisscrossed themselves, or when they crossed the railroad track, or when they crossed the bridge? How did they not notice that the same cross that they use in Christianity is the same as a Legba? So there's a point of your story has been told to you in so many different ways. Now, the difference between you and, let's say, the foreigner is going to tell you his story, right, in a different way, but it's the same story. You know it. It's just you heard it differently. And so in our language, we teach you, like, say, tree, shree, and tray. All of them are still tree. All of them still trinity. All of them still three. All of them still about the root. Just like the prefix and suffix, you got to know about it. You got to know it from different origins. And it'll explain to you, even in different origins, it means the same thing. It's only if someone came around you and colonized you to say, this is your God. Now you express this as being your God. But they couldn't just give it to you and say, this is your God. They got to give you influence to make you think that this is your God. So now I got to use what you already know naturally and make it an unnatural way, even though you don't see it. And this is what we call AI, artificial intelligence, to your advanced intelligence. And now basically make you gullible towards these situations so that now you can have what we call this, the vicarious atonement, making two sides of things for dichotomy. So now in dichotomy, I say, if it's the greater or the lesser, would you choose? And would you choose the lesser, even though you didn't know? And this is what we're talking about.
There it is. All right. All right, y'all. So, man, you mentioned a few things there. You said getting back connected to the rainbow bodies. The rainbow bodies, I heard Dr. Blair speak on the rainbow bodies. Could you tell us about the rainbow bodies? What are the rainbow bodies, the original people? Yeah, the rainbow bodies. Can you expand more on that, Eternal?
Yeah, when you're speaking about the Buddhas and how the Buddhas sat in meditation, they found that there was a open door in their self that they opened, or a window that became a door. You know, your expansion is your imagination. So when we talk about this, we're talking about like what church does. They talk about reincarnation, which we do reincarnate because we're already here. So all we're doing is coming back again, but yet in a different body. Now, some of us actually leave this earth with that same body as Melchizedek did. And that's like what people don't, you know, fathom that it could actually happen. Well, if you go into the temples or if you even hear the stories about it, there was monks that went in the temple and sat and did their meditation so long that they actually left and their body was unheard of. They couldn't find it. If you hear about the true Muhammad, the real story about Muhammad, there's another story. There's so many stories about Muhammad, but if you hear the actual one of the back in the day one where he actually, you know, they tried to do Muhammad in so many ways where they cut through his body, you know, to take his heart out. He actually woke up, put his heart back on inside his body and said, leave my heart. I mean, you know, don't try to take my heart, that kind of concept. There's a point where they said he's been jumped over the cliff. And he came back as another being. These things are not of my story. They're stories of stories. So it's only if you look it up, find out, you end up finding out. But this is why people take on these names. And the names, Muhammad and Met Muhammad, you know, you can see that medium is in there, right? Because that's the Met part, or that's the dim part. And then you got Mu, as in a lot of our tribes that come out of what tribal is. that connection. And then Hamet, they got the Ham. So Ham being Moses, Abraham, all that, that connection in that realm. But this is mainly saying like the abracadabra, the abracadabra, this the cobra concept. It's the seven being the serpent energy. It's the kundalini, one who can now use Merkaba in the right way. Some of us found out how to do it without having the feminine in the room. We actually just became feminine to ourselves so that we can discipline that, that masculine side enough that when we transition in a rainbow aspect, like the light, the actual colors are of a rainbow, and the aura is of a rainbow. And so we end up leaving the aura left as our body disappears. Then there's the idea that some of us don't fully leave. We might have our body shrink the way you could put in a cooler. That's how small the body would be. Or that it would end up leaving just the head. And then there's the other part of knowing this, how we end up being stones. We end up becoming stones. So you got the big head, the stone hedge. You got the Olmecs. You got the Nagas Mountain with the snake. You got all of these things that basically when they talked about Medusa, Medusa, Medusa had hair, right? Her hair was like of tentacles, so they made it as the serpent or the snake. This is another form to the how we end up opening up our chakras, the seventh chakra, the point of saying, okay, now I'm tapped in to Nagus Nagas, which is like saying the king of kings, but more of how the pharaoh is, one who knows the Legba, but now connected to Alamindore. And once you're there, you're able to now time travel. So a lot of us don't or aren't aware of time travel. Some of us are at a point where we're in, at the end of our journey in this physical and now want to connect back to the other physical. Like you dream a lot, right? So with all those dreams that you have, they're really not dreams. They're visions. And they're visions of you being on the other planet. Now, how much do we know of the other planet? Who knows? Some of the things that we've been trying to figure out, we can't figure out the beginning, nor could we figure out the end of it. Yet it's some kind of continuum. So let's just imagine you use all this energy that you got right now and say, oh, man, I'm bored with this life. Well, you'll leave this life and then go into the next life. And that's where this will end up being. The rainbow body will show how much in your dedication are you really fully to, like, you could disappear or you could have your body still here, you know, because you're basically, this is a seed. This earth, this you're in a seed right now that's growing, and then it, of course, then dematures itself. And so now, at a point of you exiting the energy, how much do you take with you? How much do you don't take with you? And then there's, of course, there's theories about it. Like they say, if you actually do think a lot about here and you did a lot in humanity, the next round that you go into is not going to be as hard because you did all your hard work already. I just look at it, if you're just putting out a lot of hard work and you're calling it hard, you're really putting yourself back to Oba, and you're making it a point where you're in vain of your work when you shouldn't be of that. You should just have fun at everything you're doing. So that way, when it does come down to the balancing and how much did you stress or were you not stressing, you won't be as stressful. We're putting ourselves in the present, but we're being reminded by our past. And when we're being reminded by our past, we make our heart too heavy that it's not light enough in the present. So now your near future, as the rainbow does, isn't as bright. So now you get dull colors like the black and white instead of the rainbow when you pass away.
A lot of that is rooted in the, like you said, the auras and the ability to transmutate your energy. Just because you hear trance doesn't always mean that it's attached to transition. As long as you don't break your cord to what you're connected to this life, you can allow yourself to go into other dimensions freely. But you can't do any of it in fear, because fear will allow your cord to break, and then you end up transitioning to come back through the cycle. So when we understand that we move when everything is love, even your lower self, this is when you understand that you will see karma, but because you have become love, everything that you do comes back to you, but not necessarily to destroy you, but to give you your life lesson. So when
okay.
we say, you know, I hate,
slow
I
that down, Auntie.
I love you
Whoa.
To death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have to really be mindful. What are you saying when you say, I love you to death? Remember, your mouth is a portal.
Death.
I love you to life. Mm-hmm. And in that, you can experience transition because the energy of life never dies. We must become more aware of the verbiage we use because we are always transmitting energy. I'm guilty. I haven't mastered it myself, but I am becoming more and more aware, and in your awareness, you become a master of yourself. I can't master you. You are your own entity and energy. You can pick and choose from both your conscious and your subconscious. This means that you are ye God because you choose even the gods that you deem you want to serve. Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Ifa, Voodoo, Voodan, Hoodoo, or nothing at all. And we forget that we can choose nothing at all. This is us at our ultimate just being. Brother Eternal talks about Medusa's hair gave off the likeliness of snakes to those who deemed that that is what they were seeing, was snakes. However, her antennas were attached to an atmosphere that allowed whatever you thought of her to become your reality.
Mm.
If you've seen her as beautiful, she was beautiful. If you've seen her as a witch, she was a witch. If you've seen her as scary, she was scary. And we do this throughout life as individual energy all the time. People say, ooh, what is love? What does love look like to you from what you've been told and from what you know about love? Love is hate, but people don't like to affiliate the two. Can't hate, and you can't hate something that you can't love. It's all energy. It's a puzzle. Life is a puzzle of how this energy is to the individual. You put the puzzle together the way you see it. This becomes art. Art can be positive and it can be negative because it expresses an energy that is felt in the now that can be captured in a picture to talk about later. This is magic. You are the magi. You don't look for magic. You are the magic. Now you have to understand your magic.
All right. All right. So with that being said, going back to the Orishas, you guys, on each Orisha, it shows that as far as the energy is concerned, each one has, like, a special gift, I would say. So Abatala represents wisdom. Ishu opens the door to transformation. Osi? Is it O-S-O-O-S-I? Which one is that?
Osi?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he meant in this book by that.
Letter it again.
This is the one.
Letter it again.
O-C.
Yes. O-S-O-O-S-I. And
that's
it says points to. Okay, I haven't heard that one. All right. Is it more than seven?
Basically,
thousands.
It's more than seven.
It's millions.
Yeah, it's more, way more than seven.
Okay.
But they didn't consider that one as one of the Orishas. However, he created themselves because that was one of the statements that was said that sometimes you're in your own bind. Like certain things in your religion got you stuck. So now someone had to come out of it, and that was a Sosi who decided to come into the land and the trees and learn from the environment versus learn from the priest and priestess. So it got to a point where the body changed into the habitat of the earth, and that's how a Sosi got that reputation. The herbals, the medicine.
Medicine, energy, healer.
Okay, so OC points the way, and Agung then helps us to overcome internal and external obstacles that may stand in our way of transformation. And Shango gives us the courage to move. I love Shango energy. Shango is one I utilize a lot. Shango gives us the courage to move forward and stay focused on the broader picture. So when it comes to these Orishas, now that we know that there's more than seven, just like there's more than seven chakras, I feel that it's great to learn these seven basics before we delve into, you know, the many or the infinite of it all. You know what I mean? But Auntie LJ, or, you know, which one? I hear you speak on Ashu a lot. You know, is there an Orisha energy that you utilize more over the other, or how do you come into the knowing which energy is which and how to navigate and move with this energy?
Energy is attached to cycles of things. So
okay, cycles.
When you understand who you are and what you come from, the Orishas that are you immediately, genetically, numerologically, and more or less of a totality. Basically, Ishu is what is denounced to be a covering for me. Ultimately, okay, he is in Ifa, my covering, my daddy, my head. So there's not much that I can ask him for that I won't get because I have the energy of his child.
Mm-hmm.
So Ishu is a gift for me, to me, for the world. In that energy, though, I have to know both the positive characteristics of him and the negative characteristics tells me what I'm rooted in. From my biological father, who was born on the day of Ishu. So when you understand that, you break down the energies of what is your mother in the Orishas and what is your father in the Orishas. Or are you dealing with a deity and an Orisha? In this,
okay.
You have to know the levels of who you are and your authentic characteristics paint a picture. If you wrote down everything about you, positive and negative,
honestly.
Without any curving, shaving, gray areas, unadulterately honest with you, about you. When you finish writing your pros and your cons, you can go and read up on an Orisha and see you or that Orisha within you. These are called Odu, and they're books that read stories that generalize. And you may hear them talk about one or two Orishas or deities take specific throughout the story. Somewhere in that story, you're going to find something that is you. And if you don't find something that is you, that Odu is not for you. It's for you, but you know you enough to say, I can't agree with that. That story didn't line up with anything case-specific to meet my energy. It's almost like doing tarot. When you do a tarot reading, You're doing the reading with the energy that you receive. It's up to the client to let you know or confirm the energy that you gave to what is them. Unadulterated honesty. This is why the reading is not complete until that individual either agrees with your reading or denies your reading.
Mm-hmm.
And all readings don't have to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's all about you. It brings you back to you. There's a nature aspect, there's a physical aspect, and then there is a etheric aspect. And everything in this life is going to bring you to levels of you in that. You know, people are so quick to want to jump on, oh, I love the Orishas and I want to be, you know, affiliated with this one, that one. But do you know there's trials and tribulations?
Yes.
Do you know their story? Have you examined them? Have you examined you? I want to be Ogun, but did you know that Ogun, Oshun?
Hey.
So we want to be, we want to be, want to be, want to be regurgitated because we didn't activate anything. We're regurgitating information and we're not finding out what that information means to us as individuals. So then you are, I ain't no rapist.
Oh,
well, you keep hollering, you Ogun. And that energy is attached to him doing something to his mother that was not okay. Henceforth, why
his
the
mother,
Ogul energy, part of the Ogul energy is that he was cursed to work hard. So people will say, well, oh, I'm Ogul because I know I work hard. But do you know that you work hard because of the curse for what you did in energy to your mother? We must study
that
ourselves approved. We must study ourselves approved.
Okay, there are a few things that I have to mention in this broadcast. And one, Bobby Hemmett taught early on in a lot of his lectures, Bobby Hemmett taught that what we do in this spiritual conscious community, cult, if you will, you know, fad, if you will, you know, he made it clear that spirituality is not, you know, like this religion fad that you follow. You know what I'm saying? And he says that you know, we are all positive patsy out here. You know what I'm saying? And love and light, you know, good vibes only, positives only, you know. And with that subconsciously programs us, you know what I'm saying, to not want to deal or not have to deal, you know what I'm saying, with the duality of it, with the all, with the 360 of everything. So, you know, when people's always, he wants to add, okay, hold on, let me finish this. Let me finish this real quick. Oh, okay, that's cool. But, you know, so guys, you know what I'm saying, so with everything that Auntie LJ said, you know, even with the numbers, you know what I'm saying, I found something as far as the research and the numbers that I'm going to read out the Eternals ad. But, you know, the everything of each, you know, deity, you know what I'm saying? So that's just something to look at. Go ahead, Eternal.
Yeah, the favorite color that, you know, out of not witnessing, and you end up saying, okay, I like green. And then you're not noticing that Ogun picks green. You know, that's his favorite color, that green, black, purple, you know, those type of things. But now why black? Black would be like an energy of where you probably started out. You was wearing black all your life. And then mostly you find out you've been touched the wrong way, and now you repeat what's been touched. And now here it is, you went from black, now finally wearing green. And now you say, you know what? Green is good, but I got to actually eat green. So now you're starting to eat green. And then you say, you know what? I think I like purple. So now you go into purple, and then you realize all this connected to Ogun. You had a gun in your hand. You had a gun in your hand. You wanted to shoot the gun. You shot the gun. You didn't want to shoot nobody, but then you wanted to shoot yourself. All this is part of the Ogun.
You know, we wouldn't know that you're running into what that trick could be. You know, you've been working hard, so much dedicated towards something, and you realize this ain't really worth it. This ain't even worth my life now that I'm want to end my life. You can rape yourself. So the whole idea now is to find out, like she said before, the left and the right of things. You know what I mean? Like Shango, he got a lot of women. At the same time, he brags about having these women. So now he can't keep a woman. So there's these ideas that what do we do when we become this dancer? Are we aware of what is the attraction to the dancer to now this warrior? You know, so are we assuming the before and after? Like, what did go wrong? And then how do you not repeat what went wrong? Like Oba. Oba cut off her ear because she wanted this deity to be a connection to her. She wanted to have the connection, but he's like, I ain't into you, and you crazy. Cut off your ear. So there's, like, levels to what we see. Deity. Look at the word. Deity. Deity. Diet. And then there's a Y with diet. So why diet? Why is the chromosome for your diet? But why die in it? So now, should you live in it? This is why live it and vital, vitamins, all this are connected to how everything is what you're doing. You're a part of what the doing is. So now, are you the party part of a leg by tricking yourself and constantly going to keep tricking yourself but then rape yourself because you didn't even know that tricking yourself could be just like how you could be raping yourself? There's levels to, as you said earlier, look at what you're doing already in your characteristics. And are you that lifestyle and you didn't even know it? You know, is it the numbers, the numerology, like she said earlier, too? Like, are you looking at the month? You looking at the day? You looking at the years? Do you add them all up? And then not only that, look at what Orisha is favored off of two. Is favored off of three. Is favored off of eight. You know, what are those numbers really resonating for you? After you see that, then go into your time. How much time have you at 222? Did you start doing something? Or 333? Did you start doing something? So it's like you've been in this frame, framing yourself, but didn't know all the pictures to it. So now, how much pixels are you really using in your imagination while it's being shown and projected in front of you? Because it's called Lion Gates for a reason. See, we got the word Aker, A-K-E-R. You look it up, it's meaning the mountain lion, one who has the energy of the sun in between it. So your sun usually end up hitting you in the head, in the heart, and in the hips. How are you? Do you have hopeful thoughts? Do you have heartful thoughts? Or are you just thinking in your head all the time? Are you using all three of the suns? Because remind yourself, this is, again, what three is. Three represents Electar, SU. So now, is it that you're using the Trinity or are you just using duality on things? Are you looking for the context clues to help you survive yourself? Because it's not just about survival anyway. It's about how you've been honoring. See, survival goes with sacrifice. That's why we start probably still feel like that, the ones and the twos. We're still into the one, beginning myself. I want to be the one. But then two, you see in dual, and now you don't want to fight or you want to fight. But then where's that three at? Where's that when you get into your 30s and 40s? Are you really stepping into the stages or are you just a stag god, not knowing about the stages of what God does? This is what godly is, just like the devil. The God could be just as the devil, right? So now the devil could just be just as strong or even stronger than the God. That's why it's up to you in showing yourself as light as a feather or heavy as the heart could show yourself in different ways. They done said it in comedic form. They done said it in Hebrew form. They done said it in Hindu form. There's so many forms out there. Now you have a formula of all of it. It's just up to you. Do you see the story of yourself? And if you haven't, you're just a blind, walking around blindly. That's what a fool does. A fool will look forward and backwards and still don't know the difference. But for you, you should be familiarized with your past so that you don't, wind up repeating it, right? Because if you wind up repeating it, it's a cycle. It's not cyclic. Once it's cyclic, you realize how you don't repeat it. That's how you get out of the cycles. Most of us say, oh, I'm in this cycle. But again, oh, I'm in this Michael. And, yep, you found Mariel, and Gabrielle is now telling you what you're supposed to be doing because you didn't listen. So now, instead of you being this strike of Monday, having the mood and want to be all sad, Why don't you connect to a Legba? Why don't you just learn about your emotions? Why don't you see how the emotions connect to your crossroads, and maybe your past is keeping you not knowing your present into the near future? And don't most people kill themselves at 9 o'clock on a Monday? Here it is again, that whole connection of not seeing yourself, and how this, these days of choices also are the chakras, also are the deities, also the orishas that we've been connected to. We just haven't seen them in different forms. You've been looking at this square when it could be a cube. It could be ice cube. It could be, you know, an actual house. It could be a safe. It could be all these things that we put in our inception. You know, when we looked at the movie Inception, they were showing you, you have certain type of instruments that you use every day, and you're unaware of it. So now, are you using a triangle? Are you using a circle? These are sacred geometries that change and shape and form you all the time. So now is the point of, what kind of reasons do you have for your seasons? I mean, isn't it that the seasons change because we think of the seasons? Or is that the reasons why it changed? Or is it none of it? And if you haven't made these decisions in yourself, this is why you're still exploring yourself. It's called know thyself for a reason. You can't actually know someone else until you know yourself first. So now, how do you go into your raw energy, R-A-W? I had showed somebody a pack of hemp papers, and I showed him the paper. I said, look at this. I said, have you ever looked at this word? And he said, raw. I said, yeah, but look at it backwards. And I put it in my phone so he could see it. And he was like, whoa, that says war. I said, yeah. How much are you at a war yourself and don't see the raw yourself? Raw represents manifestation. Raw represents the hidden. That's why it's called Amen before it became raw. So now when you say Ray, you're talking about what was manifested to become as it been manifested. We use this word Amen a lot, but Amen can also be Amenta, Aminet. And so we use this word, and we don't see it in other words. Yet that's like saying you see one guy and you don't see the rest of the guys. Now, how does that work? How does that work? You work with one guy, and you got all these other body parts in this concept of God, and you don't want to utilize it? So you're going to say, tell me you're going to use your heart and not the rest of your body, or you're going to use your feet and not the rest of your body? You can use your head and not the rest of your body? People don't work that way. You got to have coexistence. So now how your coexistence work with your body inside as it is outside. See, the four pillars were your fear, fire, earth, air, rain, and how you connect back to that four. How do you get into that fear, right? That means you're lying. Put them up. Put them up. You've been lying to yourself. So now as a lion, do you align yourself? Do you sit up? Do you sit up or do you get upset? I'm angry. I'm mad. Or do you actually stand and have a stance? And now you're four, five, six, seven becomes your rainbow.
All right. as the orishas relate to the numbers, you guys, this is something teacher, I think she's in EFI. She actually did a session with me, and she was telling me that each orisha is attached to a number. So these are notes from like 3 years ago, guys. So I'm going to read it to the best of my ability. But she says that the number one, the divine force, is represented with Abatala. Number two is the divine, the great divine. And it's U-R-U-N-M-I-L-A. Not sure which one that is. And my notes is sloppy. Sorry, guys. Number three is
Oramula.
Okay, who is it? Can you tell us about that one?
That's the one that's in charge of Alegba.
Okay.
So you have like, you know, just like you have zodiac signs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in your zodiac signs, you have someone in charge of your zodiac sign. It's just like saying the Kemetic, you have a deity. Or you can have, let's say, a grandfather. Your grandfather over your father. You know what I'm saying? So Armin Miller will be that representation of that higher force to that next force. Like, let's say for Nut. We know Nut, right? But not a lot of people know about Pet. Nut represents the sky, right? The water, the rain, and everything, the atmosphere.
yet at the same time, there's like a universal, a galactic energy. So now how does that, how do you get to that, that other deity? And that would be Pet. So this is why you hear Oramilla, Oramilla.
And you have to remember, that's why I said you get deities in your reading, but you also get Orishas. So you have to know within yourself what's being called through your reading. So it's something that you kind of, if you're going to go into it, you've got to go into it with no fear and the willingness to learn you. And then knowing who you are from your experience of your life being with you all your life, it shows you different aspects of the Orishas and the deities that represent the energy before you that you now house. Does that make more sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So, and guys, we speak much about, you know, knowing thyself and going back to you guys, but truly, at the end of this all, you know what I'm saying, it's about you. You know what I'm saying? So to anybody that's listening, you know, I feel that there's like a heavy, heavy part of us that is distracted to, you know, not even begin to, you know, see, you know what I'm saying, that you even exist. You know, you don't even know that you even exist because the programs are so heavy, you guys.
You will never know the true you if you don't introduce yourself to all of you.
To all of you.
Some of us are afraid of ourselves. We don't want to admit it. But some of us we've not only been indoctrinated to do so through the common religions of, you know, church Christianity and all of these other, you know, being Muslim, and a lot of the energy of it is rooted from these spiritual things that we're doing. When you go to church, there's an altar. When you go into the masjid, you go into a what's called sanctuary, or you know, we just change the names, but they represent the same stuff. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed.
Everybody is not calling it the same thing, but it's coming with the same energy for what it represents. We give an offering at church, right? You give an offering. You go and pay tithes and offering.
Same shit.
You usher in the spirits during praise and worship. Do a candle ritual for your candlelight service. You do a cannibalistic ritual when you do consecration and represent the bread as Christ and the wine or grape juice as blood. You're doing it, and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm. It's based off, you know, religion is based off of, you know, our shit. You know what I'm saying? The ancient, you know, tradition. You know, guys. You'll begin to see that as you grow.
Why so many, I'm sorry to cut you off, Keith, but I need to make this point.
Yeah.
This is why so many of our people who are spiritually connected connect so freely to religion, because we see enough spirituality deemed that we're being spiritual and not religious. We recognize it, but we don't know why we recognize it. And so it's like, oh, no, we got the Holy Ghost. But which ghost jumped in you? Do you know the name of the ghost? Was it Peter? Was it Martha? Was it Mary? Was it Job? What spirit jumped in you? You had a spiritual awakening at the altar. But what spirit under that religion can you say you recognize was you? Was it Mary? Was it Paul? Was it Mary Magdalene? Which spirit? And which spirit with that name is truly Oshun, Obatala, Shango, Heru, Ogun?
Yeah.
You have to be willing to remove what you know and look at the energy. And then you can go to church with your book on the names of the Orishas and figure out who's jumped into who during the Holy Ghost.
You know, just to the audience, you know what I'm saying? I promise you guys, self-education, self-education and the exploration in all of this is actually a fun event. You know what I'm saying? You can actually make it into a hobby. You know, it doesn't have to be like school to where we feel, you know, y'all remember the classes that you didn't want to take and you felt forced, you know what I'm saying, all that. When it comes to the world and its, you know, broad and what you can, you know, pay your attention to, you know what I'm saying? It's really not that bad. So all of these different topics, you know, just pick one, you know, and YouTube University, you know, grateful for the internet because we now have access to a lot of information. Let me go ahead and read number four, guys. Let me finish this up real quick. Number four is, hold on. I don't think I read number three. Number three is Elegua. This is opportunity. Did I say that right? Well, Elegua could also be represented as a shoe. Is that right?
Elegua and Ishu
are
twins.
Okay.
They have
are twins.
There's a twin.
Okay. Okay. I got them both written here, so she may have said that. Okay. Okay.
One's a little more fierce than the other.
Yeah, you got your masculine and feminine. Yeah, that's basically what it is. One who is in the crossroads is walking in the streets of the road, and then there's one who, like, you run into that being and, you know, you get that kind of energy, but then there's also the trick of the choice that's, you know, it could be severe, like it could be death versus, you know, life. So now is the severity of the two, which one is in favor of and which one is the lesser of. But because of Santeria and different connections to the Yoruba, a lot of us might have the name put on the same Orisha, and that's how that became that. That's why there's more than seven Orishas.
Right.
Okay.
Just
all
like,
right.
You know, for a lot of people who deal with Oshun, I had to stop a sister the other day because she was like, oh, I'm working with Oshun and I'm going to go and get some honey. And I was like, no, you cannot. Have you not studied Oshun? And she was like, well, I'm supposed to be connected. And I said, baby, that's how she transitioned. They gave her poison and her honey. You never give Oshun. You have to know what you're working with.
Hmm.
You never give up.
Oh, honey. Oh, wow.
And this is why the Oshuns and the deities, they demand and command that anything that you give them as an offering, you yourself must stand before them and put it in your mouth before you give
it
to them.
Hmm. This is why it's important to research, you guys.
Yes.
You know,
and she was like, well, she likes
going off of what they told you.
She likes sweets and she likes this. And I'm like, honey, please.
Because you were told that. You were told that and you didn't research.
Right. That part. And it's dangerous because, baby, some of the energy, if you give them the wrong stuff, you finna get that work.
And they will attack you.
Ooh, honey.
Okay. Number four is Shango. Shango is lightning, thunder, and fire. And I think you turned us at the Leo energy. Oshun. Oshun is money, water, and honey. I wrote honey here. Okay, she said honey too. All right.
Give
okay.
Honey. No.
All right.
You can give
okay.
her jewelry.
All right.
You can give her makeup. You can give her. She likes pretty stuff. Flowers. you know, the yellows and the whites and the honeydew and the honeysuckle and stuff like that. You never give Oshun honey. That is what they use to poison.
Okay.
You, that's a no. Not an absolute no. That's a no.
That's an absolute. Yellow and gold are Oshun's colors, which I feel represents the sacral chakra. Right? Okay. I get Oshun mixed up with Oya.
Orange
is the sacral. Okay. All right. Yellow and gold. Okay. So Oshun represents yellow and gold, money, water, and we're going to not even say honey. Honey is an absolute no. All right. She said number six is also Shango. I'm not sure why. So four and six is both Shango.
Which you can draw his energy.
Okay. There it is. Okay. All right. There it is. The water.
Like Oshun's five.
Oshun number is five, and six is Shango. I need to leave these notes out because I'm connected with the numbers, so I need to connect the Orishas with the numbers. Help me pronounce that one, y'all. The water Orisha, the mermaid.
Yamaya.
There we go. All right, this is number seven, you guys. This is about healing. I see seven a lot. Seven is very strong with me. This is about healing. This is about spiritual human being. It's about the human experience. It's the peacock. It's about manifestation and pretty much deep healing. This energy represents. Number eight is Abatala.
Uh-huh.
Eternal, can you tell us about Abatala?
Yeah. I had to explain to a brother earlier. He was like, you know, if that's a blank state on my paper as far as my life, does that mean I'm dead? I said, well, in ways, yeah and no. Like, why did Dorothy had to go through that whole little experience? She had to learn her Abatala. She had to learn her unity. She had to learn her childlike ability versus her childish ability. At the same time, she got tricked. Say it again.
Illustrates her perfection. MJ represents the Abatala. So MJ has a Abatala, and because I am his mother and his caretaker, a Abatala adopts me for MJ.
Right.
So the energy of MJ having the disabilities or what society deems to be disabilities, he has the Abatala, because now you have to come into your spirituality to kind of understand who he is in his perfect imperfection.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of number eights actually have that. A lot of, if your number is the eight in the day, the month, the year, you're in that same experience of that. And we call it longevity, so eternal. And it was something I didn't know. It grew. It was like what she said earlier. Abatala is in the self, so self is in the Abatala. So now it's the reoccurring, showing how this works. How does it work? How is it being able to manifest? When we call it knowledge, it's one thing, but then when it becomes wisdom, that's like what Abatala represents, the head. So when you say Ra, you're still representing Abatala. You're still representing how it manifests itself. So that's what knowledge becomes wisdom is. And that's what I was saying about as far as the childlike. Childlike versus childish. When we're childish, that is our imperfection. When we're childlike, that's our perfection, because now you can have fun at it. You know what it's about. You know the ins and outs. You know the good and the bad. And now you can be the medium, the in-between of that, and still balance it out like Alice in Wonderland. A lot of the stories, when they flip themselves back out, you see how it becomes the Abatala moment. You know, how did now everything's happy? Is it happily ever ending? Well, it's happily ever beginning. And that's why I was saying to the brothers, like, it's not you ending, you're actually beginning. So now it's a state of
what childlike, you know, ability are you, you know, connected to? And if you feel that you're imperfected, what did you feel like you can perfect without feeling like you're stressing it to do it? Because when you look at,
right,
there's a card of Obatala, and Obatala looks like this king. He's sitting on the, you know, on the throne, but he's like an elder. He's a man of wisdom. So how did he get to be wisdom? You know what I mean? So then you have the younger version of him running around, and he's seeing himself running around, dancing, and doing all the things that basically what children would do in their childlike state. So that's showing that he's perfected, and then he's looking at himself as if that could be imperfect because he's older. So now this is how you feel eternal, because you're going to be forever. You know what I mean? So it's just like the saying of the looking back and forward. You look back, you're seeing your old self. When you look forward, you see your new self. But now, can you be present? That's the major thing.
Right.
Mm. All right. Auntie, you're going to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, what it is it's being centered. Obatala is centered. She sees things. The energy of her, both masculine and feminine.
Is it
because
a her?
She is. It's a them. The energy is a them. You have to be able to balance your masculine and feminine. This is where expansion takes place. You don't get expansion without balance. You can grow being imbalanced, but you can't get expansion without balance.
Okay, so it goes back to what Eternal was saying, and I felt this heavy. It's like we are so much at war with ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like when it comes to the lower S, I think this is where we go quote wrong, even though there's no right or wrong, and you know, but when we go to war with ourselves internally and subconsciously, that war that we do, I think that is huge for us to examine in this as we grow spiritually, you guys, because it seems that we are on autopilot to automatically go at war with ourselves. And as we're going at war with ourselves, we miss the jewels and we miss the lessons and we miss, I think this is the constant dance that we do, guys.
What
Eternal,
it is
you
we have to no longer be afraid of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of knowing who you are in your totality is what gets you stuck. It's not a right or wrong, but you get stuck because you don't want to open the next door. You don't want to step over into the next level. You are unsure of who you are. And because childlike energy, they're little scientists. They explore. So when you want to grow and expand, you want to be in your childlike energy. You want to be playful. You want to do it in love because that people say, how do you make your magic happen so fast? You go as a child. And when you go as a child, like Eternal said, it's fun. It's playful. It's exploration. You don't have any fear. Children don't have fear. You say, I dare you. And the child is standing on the roof. It's like, what's the problem? And everybody's, no, don't jump. And the child's like, I got this. What are you worried about? I'm about to come back down. You just dared me.
Yeah.
So I knew I could do it. And because I knew I could do it in the fun of me being childlike, I was able to do it with no fear. So I didn't have any doubt. So I accomplished it. I'm coming down. And so you come down and all the adults are like, what the hell? The kid's crazy. Did you just see that? And it's all of this fear and doubt. But the child is feeling.
Oh, I love that. I love that. All right, y'all. Eternal made a very important statement. You both did, you know. But I want to reiterate for the audience is, Eternal says that it's both when it comes to Orishas, and Auntie said that it's them. So I feel that what we're saying when we're thinking of this energy is very key to understand the duality of it, the both.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Okay.
Well, it's the duality of you. do have a desire. Just because you're born a man doesn't mean you don't have feminine energy. Just because I'm born a woman doesn't mean that I don't have masculine energy. What it means is that in having the two, we have to find the balance. And sometimes we need to also embrace the imbalance, because then it allows us to become perfection using one another. So if the man is highly masculine, he needs a submissive feminine. So that you're together.
But within him.
It starts with him recognizing I'm overly masculine. So now when he gets with that overly feminine, her pointing to him and him pointing to her, they create a balance. So it may not always, this is where you get arguments and stuff in relationship. And you hear the phrase, you don't know your place. Because the woman is overly masculine and the brother is overly masculine, so we can't get along.
Okay.
Even in relationships of friends, you've got why do we always seem like we're in competition? Some people, like your Capricorn and your Libra, they think that being in competitive relationships is good because it feeds the energy of who they are. But you get with somebody who is balance, where the masculine and the feminine have a little bit of both. Now you have creation, because you're not focused on the balance. You're just focused on being, which opens a portal for everything, probability and possibility. You know who you are, and you know what you're connecting to.
All right, you guys. Number nine is Ogun Oya. Ogun Oya. This is about sudden change. So, all right.
Ogun.
That concludes Ogun.
A lot of protective. Ogun is a lot of protective energy. We must remember that throughout the stories, Ogun and Shango shared a lot of the same women. They are both representation of iron. They both use dogs as representation. It's a lot of similarities between the two, and their battle was because of the women, primarily.
Okay.
In their masculine energy. Ogun can be a protector. Ogun was my first protector. When I hear trains and horns and bells and whistles, that is Ogun warning me of something.
You talking about in your ear?
No. In
the
3D realm.
Okay. All right.
So off in the distance, I'm hearing train horns going off. I need to pay attention throughout the remainder of my day.
Okay. So there's symbolic communication that occurs with this unseen energy. We just have to know how to pay attention. Auntie, talk about that. Talk about the symbolic communication.
Everything is a symbolic communication once you're in tune with the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? We say, I seen a deer. That's your totem animal. That animal is there. You've seen it, and it was prevalent throughout everything else that was going on around you for a reason. So what's the first thing you do? You go look up deer. You see deer so much that you start allowing the deer to really let you know how you manifest your day. So where now you don't even have to go back and look it up. Now you just know, when I see deers, this is what it means for me. And you don't always have to get the same meaning that somebody else gets from a totem. Symbols and your signs are your symbols and your signs.
They are the union
that you created for yourself long before this life. They're cold.
Symbology to sigils. please elaborate on that, because sigils, we have to do a broadcast on sigils, because that's one area I do not have any knowledge on, really. But I hear that it's very important. So symbology and sigils.
Sigils are, Eternal, you want to expand on that, and then I'll come in after you.
Sure. You got symbols that basically are used to explain the coffin text. And we've been learned from the coffin text. We just didn't know that's what it was called. And what I mean by coffin text is mean like the dead text is unspoken of, the language that we felt like we don't speak anymore. But this is where art comes from, the Mozart, the Mozarab. We made the mosaic. This is where the mosque comes from. All of this is the symbols and sigils. When you say church, you're actually using symbols to create this church. Even if I say the word church, you're going to come up with a symbol in your head, and that's what we call sigils. And that's the where you use your rituals, your ritual magics to give a more of an outcome towards what you're a practitioner of. So now the sigils be the representation of the symbols. And that's how we call it sigilmancy. When I mean by sigilmancy, it'll be a point of how I'm using it in more like a hypnotic trance type sigilmancy.
Vibration.
Using vibrations. Even in the vibrations, you're creating signals, all right?
Right.
So now the signals through that vibration changes the frequency. So now we can make it now what we call sacred gematria, but now by either we're using it in a sacred form or taken away from that sacred form, where now you get what we call the occult, you know, taken away from culture. So when you hear occult, you're saying occult, like taking one culture and taking all the cultures and making one, or taking a little from each one and making their own. So now it becomes occult. So that's why you hear, you know, 666 is bad, and you know these numbers that we know of, but you wouldn't know where it really originated from. It could be your electrons and neutrons and your protons. It could be your etheric connection, your sixth etheric connection, how that becomes the proton, neutron, electron. It's a matter of, or if they say, oh, it's bad because this is the devil. And so there's ways that that same 666 could be reversed, and it could be 999. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so now the three nines is 27 instead of the three sixes, which is 18. So now it's a 270 degree, right, versus 180 degree. So now those sigils can be used to explain, like, the Fibonacci code, one little spiral, or the whole spiralation. That's where golden ratio comes from. You know, you got golden rule, golden ratio. As the golden ratio, our face matches up a whole bunch of people, right? So now, like, your eyes are sigil, your nose is a sigil, and then now it gives you those ritual majestic combinations when you're using it as a practitioner. You know, that's why we are, like, when you go to the doctor,
it's the
right,
formula.
And you're going actually in the form. So when you're going in the form, it creates a formula. La meaning the land, the air, the whole connection of how the etheric is now a part of it. So now, informal to formal, we wear our clothes, right? But you address your clothes too. So now how you address yourself is just like the same way would it be in feminine, and I know it as a gender, but as a principle. So that's why it becomes sigil Nancy.
Eternal, can you touch on how even the vibrations have a number? The frequencies come from numbers. Everything that we are dealing with up into now, being able to have words, sentences, phrases, paragraphs, summaries, so on and so forth, have
your
a
numbers,
numerological foundation. Everything from the sign, you know, elaborate on that part of it.
You got the numbers that basically from zero, let's go from zero to nine, right? And then zero to nine, we know that after nine is everything else become a redundant number. It's coming back from the whole numbers, okay? So when 10 comes up, it's a redundant of one, right, with the zero in its place, but now reversed on the opposite end. So basically, it becomes fractional numbers, right? So now we're talking about, let's just go through one to seven. One to seven represents your notes, your tones. So as vibration, it also changes not only the frequency, it changes the tone and the frequency. not only a tone and a frequency, it also changes the shape. And now the shape becomes the tone and the sound. So now, how people tell you certain things and imagination starts to, as they call it, run wild. Well, the word wild is Negro. So now it means untamed. So it basically runs untamed to, like, go through everything you possibly could think of from, like, how somebody will say, man, I got mad. I went from 0 to 100. Well, you're actually not using any of your proper tones or any tuning forks to create a slower module effect of how it's hitting you, AM frequency to FM frequency. We're talking about amplified frequency or modulated frequency. You know, these are the points of when you're amped up, are you using a rod? Are you grounded? You know what I'm saying? So, like, let's say red. Red could be a bright red or a dark red. Now, if you had a bright red, you might be more, you know, energetic, more power driven. But then if you get a darker red, you'd be a little bit more calm and more cool and more tranquil. So now that what I just described right there was like saying D note or E note, right? And now having it as a flat E or a sharp E. And that's how you start to see the difference of the numbers also are vibrations. And that vibrations is also frequencies. And how we are affected by it also has that same influence to your mental, your physical, and your spiritual.
And this is how you know that you are an important instrument in the orchestra of life. You are
walking,
needed.
Moving.
You are needed. When you are no longer needed, you transition from the physical body, but your energy is still very prevalent and relevant to the symphony being played because you were, so therefore you are. And now physically you're no more, but you're forever available. You're forever a tune, a sound, a note, a vibration, a frequency, a number.
Mm-hmm. You telling me you got an example?
Yeah. It was ironic because I had a brother come in, right? And here I am being a dancer to drumming on you know, doing the percussional side. And now going from the drumming to the harmonica, the flute, you know, I'm like, now I'm starting to expand, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm starting to learn other instruments. And I had this brother, he come around me, he said, turn on your little frequency thing on your phone. So I did that, right? I turned it on, and he said, did you ever use that on your drum? I said, oh, no, I ain't thinking about that. So now I'm checking out, is it A, is it C, is it G? And then I'm starting to see how many hertz is under there, right? And it's hertz, right? So it went up to, like, 400. I'm like, oh, man, I got 400 on my hertz, right? And then I grabbed, he said, try the flute. And I did the flute. And I said, oh, okay, 1,500. I'm like, wow, I'm changing the hertz up in the room. Now, that's the, like, the EKG. You got an EKG that basically shows you electric pulses that's going on in the room. You actually change up the frequency by how you talk and by how you play instruments. Now, the most imaginative thing, I couldn't even imagine. You know, it's like watching Dragon Ball Z and Goku there, and it's like there's some evil people that came on the planet, and they say, oh, we're about to beat up everybody. And they say, let's check out everybody's, you know, maximum power. And they check everybody out, and they be like, man, they got some weak people up here. And then here comes Goku, and he maxed out, and he be like, good. It broke the little radar thing on his face. And I'm like, yo. All right, so this brother, he came in, and he was like, yo, I see you doing the instruments. You know, he's like, you know, check that out. He said, now check this out. And so he got up, right? And mind you, he plays the drum, he plays the trumpet. He didn't use none of this. And he went just like this. I said, why are you doing that? He said, you know, that's what a baby does, right? I said, yeah. He said, that's the most powerful thing on the earth. And I said, get out of here. He did it again. Mm-hmm. And he said, now turn on the app. I turned that Jane on. Guess what it said?
What?
2,000. I was like, bro, you hardly even making that noise. I said, he's like, yeah. Now you imagine how that baby is. Now you can imagine how the mama is.
Right. Mm. That's the connection of wow. Mm. I can hear 1,000 children crying, and I know my babies cry.
Mm.
I never practiced it. I don't know why I can do it. I'm not the only mm-hmm. mother that can. Fathers do it too. It's a natural vibration frequency. You will go, animals do it. Animals can hear their babies cry and find them.
Yeah. Yeah. I seen my dog do it.
If their baby's crying, why are you trying to take the baby home? You'll look up and it'll be a big ass one of them babies outside your spot trying to get in to get their baby.
Mm-hmm.
This is nature vibration.
Hmm. All right. All right, you guys. We are going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Oh, actually, you know what? We had a caller. Let's go ahead and just open the phone line just to see. I think this is a regular one of our regular listeners who always listen to our show. Area code 201. Area code 201. Your mic is unmuted. Do you want to add to the show today?
Greetings, family.
Greetings.
Wow.
How are you?
I'm good. This is Jackie.
Okay.
And oh God, you guys covered so much today. I don't even know where to begin. But class has been very enlightening.
Beautiful.
Because I know within myself and just in past experience that I just can't tell the difference. I haven't categorized the deities versus the other categories because I'm a person that needs to write it down and study the Orishas that way. I know that Yemaya walked with me because after going to the beach, I get so many downloads. However, mm-hmm. I have not been to the beach as frequently as I would like to in my adult life, but it does something to me. So I try to supplement with like a lot of salt bath, and I could just go in the tub for 10 minutes and I'm good. I know mm-hmm. after a major thunderstorm, when mm-hmm. the skies crack open, there's nothing that I want to do that I cannot accomplish after a major thunderstorm. It's like the ethers open up my spirit. I know when I'm faced with major obstacles, if I can just remember Shango,
mm-hmm.
it's like he's my fighting warrior. And just to tap into something that was said earlier, I got baptized in an apostolic church around
mm-hmm.
a lot of dogmatic people mm-hmm. who were just into wearing the hat, no earrings, you know, the whole nine yards. And one of my most...
The imagery.
Yes, but look,
right.
they're not even reading deep into what they say they profess because they couldn't
right.
break down why Paul, or who was Paul, and why he said you had to be baptized in Jesus only versus the Trinity. And I questioned that because my spirit was at odds with the division and the distinction, because to me it led to confusion. But I say
mm-hmm.
that to say that I had an experience at the altar one day, and that experience was so profound. And someone said something to me later on, and I didn't point, but I know I had lost my voice about maybe 4 days. While I was at the altar, I felt a presence that was standing right in my face. And I know it was a male presence. And he was breathing deeply in my face. And it was like we had a standoff. And by the time that struggle was over, again, like I said, I lost my voice about maybe 3 or 4 days. And a sister in the church came up to me and they said, you were speaking in some type of tongue. And
mm-hmm.
they couldn't interpret it. And I was
like,
what are you talking about? They could not interpret it. But I know I don't know if I was dealing with my deity, if I was dealing with
your Orisha
that was demonic. According to their standards, if I would have said, if I knew it was my Orisha and I said, no, that was Django or that was whoever, they would have said it was demonic. But let me tell you something. If I had not had these encounters, I probably would have been on the other side already. The pressure. And one of the comments you said earlier about childish versus childlike. When I am in my childlike self, I am so free. I am so happy from within. I hear from spirit. I feel spirit when I'm in that state. Now, society has been confusing us, because I can honestly tell you, I'm new to this. This has taken many years of development. And I know that I'm on a journey to something, but I haven't been able to sit down with the right group to learn how to sort this information. Okay? Let me just tell you something about me professionally. I'm a teacher. And this year, I'm teaching geometry and strangest thing. I'm also teaching chemistry, which I was not professionally trained to teach. But I realized that from a universal standpoint, that the universe allowed this to happen so that I could pay attention. You mentioned 666 earlier. 666 is carbon. 666 is carbon, 6 photons, 6 electrons, 6 neutrons. Folks don't want to let us know that carbon is everywhere. And we are carbon, and it's powerful. So they gave us the impression that 666 was evil. Dark matter. You get the perception that dark matter is evil. When if you ask me today, maybe down the road, I probably would say something
that's your real power.
Dark matter
that's
is
what real
power.
Power.
Okay. You understand what I'm saying?
And can I ask
if
something?
I wasn't, yes. Is this LJ?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
finish your statement.
Well, I'm your friend on Facebook.
Okay. If you can finish your statement, because you was about to finish
that
your statement. Can you finish your statement?
That dark matter that they are so interested in understanding is where that dark matter is connected to us. Think about this. I'm going to put something out there. This is a hypothesis now, coming from academia and a pedagogical standpoint. Why would we have so many people suffering on this planet now, and countries that are in total disarray and financial ruin, and they spend so much money to go out in space, to go to Mars, to have a space station circling the Earth at different times. And those of us who are paying attention, right, are saying, wait a minute, why are we doing this now? Something's up. Why are they more so concerned now for that type of exploration out there when that money could be used here? It has something to do with that dark matter. It has something to do with our people who, the ancient, I'm talking about the ancient, it has something to do with that. Now, I haven't put the total puzzle together, but I do believe in due time, chemistry is something that all of us have to become familiar with, because so much is coming, it's becoming known to people who read it on a regular basis about chemistry, and they also made that subject, along with math, they confused our people that we could not understand it, because we didn't get the correct answer. Someone mentioned the Fibonacci sequence earlier, right? Someone mentioned the Fibonacci,
tell us what it is, if you don't mind.
And the divine triangle.
Tell us what it
triangle.
Is.
Well, it's spherical, right? And it's just simple numbers. It's adding, you got one column or one point, and then the next point you start adding the previous number to the next number. And as you see it, if you see it in a different dimension, it looks like a sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the periodical table of elements.
Right.
If you look at the periodical table of elements on the lateral surface, it just looked like a table, and all you're doing is going from one end to the next end, and you're looking at the atomic number, and you're looking at the mass, and you're just doing basic addition and subtraction, right? And then you're seeing properties in columns, right? That's the way to organize it. But there's another way to organize it that's spherical, just like that sequence. The one thing adds to the next thing, to the next thing, and the next thing. Now, what I'm trying to teach myself right now, like I said, this is my first year teaching it, so I don't know everything. But when I go back to the beginning, started with alchemy. Yeah? I'm going to leave it right there. And it's just now, I heard a numerologist on the phone. Was that a root?
What'd you say about the numerologist?
I heard a numerologist earlier, but I wasn't paying attention to the name. I was trying to recognize.
Oh, no. Well, Eternal Devils in numerology, I believe. But what I do have in the show notes, guys, for the listening audience, if you guys need a numerology reading, King Simon, he's the best of the best of the best of the best in the in this spiritual community, I feel. And he has a lot of great in the show notes, guys, please, let me make sure that it's here. But please look in the show notes. If you scroll down at the bottom of the show notes, okay, it's not here. All right, well,
I want you to add a link to your shows, or at least look at it before you add it. I want you to go to ptable.org and just click on it.
Okay.
That's the periodical table of elements. But and you can go to periodicaltable2.com. You will be surprised things that are right in front of us. Now, how does all this have anything to do with each other? It's just like numbers. Now, I have a life path of 9, and my husband do as well. And I'm
trying to understand.
Well, so
he's a 3.
When dealing
with numerology, you want to stay in the bracket between 1 and 9. So if he's a 12,
right, my husband is a 9, and
okay.
I'm a 9. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I should have been my head phone.
Okay, so both of y'all are 9.
Yeah, we're both a 9. And I understand my life path in the sense of being humanitarian and, you know, trying to work for the common good and all of that, but I never could understand, like, some of the other categories because I didn't take the time to study it. This is the summer when I need to get to know myself further because I'm at crossroads. I know that I have been dealing with Oya. I know that I have been dealing with Emaya because there's sometimes where I'll be sitting in my room and I don't want to be no place but on the sand and the beach by myself. And I'm sitting there, I have to meditate and pretend that I'm there because my spirit is just drained and it needs it. Again, there's times when after a great thunderstorm, no matter what happens afterwards, I come outdoors and I feel refreshed. And then there's other times where I have to go outside and stay in the earth and garden or whatever just to feel that cow spirit again.
Mm-hmm. Whatever works for you.
Yes.
Before you go, Auntie, real quick, hold on. Real quick, before you go, Auntie, I want to say that it is so beautiful to see our mothers and to see our women, you know, to see the elder generation and the senior generation, as well as the youth, to see you guys admitting that you do not know, to publicly admit that you guys do not know it all, that you guys are vulnerable, that you guys are learning, that you guys have your masculine and your feminine energies balanced. You know what I'm saying? The men need to not also hear that, visualize that, but also feel that. So I just wanted to just give a shout out to y'all.
It's funny that you would say that because that's my biggest hurdle right now. I'm surrounded by males at home.
Yeah.
And the people that come against me on a regular basis are males, and I don't. Sometimes I sit up there and I say, it got to be that yin yang, because I had a strong male in my life. My father was very instrumental in my life. I'm my father's daughter. Not his sons or his sons, but my father deposited more into me, or at least I received it more so than his son. And one thing I don't like is for a man to challenge me or dehumanize me, because my father taught me differently. Like, the only man that's supposed to ever get up in my face or, you know, put pressure on me is my husband, whether he's on top or on the bottom. Everybody else, no. Because my father did not ordain you to do that. You understand where I'm coming from? So I got a very strong masculine energy. I recognize it. I outwork the males around me, and they hate it. Like, I got men fighting against me every day. Ladies, do you know what that's like?
It's a lot of that.
They talk so much to the point of pettiness.
Petition Oshun for your femininity. Spend some time by water. Allow yourself to be around free-flowing water.
A waterfall for your bedroom.
Instead of going to work ready to fight, go to work with a compromising energy. Because in compromise, we don't have to agree. But we can compromise that we recognize one another's differences. Okay. These are small, little, simple things that you can do with your aura and your energy.
Okay.
Speak intentions before entering places that have normally been conflict places for you, and command and demand that everything is conducive.
Okay.
Now, we don't know what conducive going to look like, but we're commanding and demanding that things be conducive, because when you have the energy of things being conducive, you have the respect of things being different, but things being respected as being different. And so that's where you can use your power in your femininity. Try putting on a little bit of lip gloss and be the beauty that you represent in your femininity. I'm not saying you got to walk in looking like a clown, but, you know, go on.
Please don't.
Be cute. You know what I'm saying? Be pretty.
I hear you guys saying is reintroduce yourself.
Hold on 1 second. That type of stuff for women not only does something for us, but it triggers men, because men are triggered by what they see and women are triggered by what we hear. If you become the visual of what you want people to see you as, then it'll soften their tone from what they see from you. But when you come in, I am woman, hear me roar, they like, if you've ever heard the story of Oshun, when Romulus sent him down to create the planet, he sent Oshun, which was the only female, and the rest of the tribe were men. And the men were fussing with him. Why is she here? We don't need her. She's the girl. You know, she's not going to be able to pick up and plant trees and put, you know, blow to make the wind shift and do. She's a girl. And so Oshun heard this and had a seat. And so when Aramula came down, he said, well, what's going on here? And he said, I don't know. But he did everything and it's done. You know, the plants and the flowers won't grow. The grass won't grow. Everything is fragile. It's bright. And Aramula said, where's Oshun? I said, Oshun. They said, we didn't want her. He says, nothing that you created without the waters of Oshun will grow.
Come on.
You need her. It's not a want. You need her.
So
when Aramula went to see Oshun, Oshun was looking in the mirror, putting on her lip gloss, being Oshun. She's pretty. You don't need me? Fine. Let me remove myself. And Aramula asked Oshun to return because in her return came the water. And he explained to her that the beauty that the planet had to offer needed her feminine presence. And so in that, he stroked her ego. You know, because we as women, make them niggas get right with me. They ain't finna treat me crazy, and I'm going to go over there and help them. Nope. They talk bad about me. They didn't want me. Leave me alone. So he fed her spirit by acknowledging her beauty, which touched her heart. And from the love of beauty, she became the waters of the planet, which allow everything that is on the planet to be alive. So that's a depiction of the story of Oshun. The question I had for you was, being an educator and in your teaching status, have you noticed that the word Braille is no longer in vocabulary circulation?
What word?
Braille. Not Braille.
What?
Braille. V.
No.
Braille. The word
Spell it.
The word Braille, I L, I believe. I might be missing a vowel there.
Braille.
The two vowels go walking, the first one does this. Yes, Braille. The issue is, any book that you're looking for that has Braille in it is probably a $2,000 book.
Okay.
They don't allow y'all to teach it because it talks. Braille is the one black dot of the black matter that you're talking about. Occultists have boosted their books to, you're looking at $2,000 to $2,500 for a book with the description of Braille in it. And it's been removed from the vocabulary. So as a little scientist experiment for your students with chemistry, because the root of chemistry is all in third grade science. All of this is rooted in third grade.
But yes, it is. Physical science. Yes, it
right.
is.
So,
and physical
you,
science is the umbrella, and folks don't
right.
even realize it.
Exactly.
I'm just discovering
so,
it.
Most of us who are good in science can be good in math.
Yes.
And most of us who are good in math are good with science because they're formulated.
And good in music.
And
good in music.
Right. As long as you get the formula, you can plug any letter or number. So once you know the formula, you know the science. So as an experiment, just dropping a little seed here, challenge your students to find an author of a book with the word Braille in it.
I got to get the correct spelling. Braille.
Braille. V.
R.
Braille.
A-I-L.
No, it's V-R, it might, no, it's V-R-A-I, it might be, because I said I was missing a vowel. So it may be, because when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking, it's a long A.
Yes.
So
yes.
You might have it. But see how many can come back with that. And I'll petition the listeners, the future listeners, find that word. And when you find that word, not only find it, but give the author and the name of and the title of the book, and then challenge people. To get it would be phenomenal. But just to know who has authored and titled it so that that science can be recentered and reintroduced to what we're just skimming the surface with, with real, with black or melanin.
Well, you know that, okay. Okay, because I'm going to have to connect it that way to research it.
Right.
They're changing the dictionary, just like they have changed all our legal dictionaries and watered it down. And they're in the process of changing the dictionary as well as changing the history now, you know, one, to remove slavery, which, to be honest with you, I don't think slavery should be our focus, because you want to remind us that we were in bondage, not when we were free. And because if we could go back into the ancient texts and schools, that would be even wonderful, which, you know, in the public school systems, they do not allow it. They are petrified of us learning it and even teaching it. Like, they would never make me a history teacher because they know that, uh-oh, you know, the dogs are getting ready to come out. They know that. And I know that. It took me a while to realize that.
I help you understand something else that they've changed? They removed cursive writing from the educational
system.
Do you know why?
I've been fighting that for years. Because, you write quicker.
No.
I believe, number one, you will write quicker. And number two, it's cursive writing also stimulates the right brain, which is your creativity.
That's one, but it's attached to being able to sagil. Because when you write in cursive, you're sagiling.
Yes.
It becomes an art form and not just your...
Right.
So when you write in cursive, you actually are writing magic.
As an artist.
Right.
I agree. I totally agree. And it's that right brain. And that right...
Yep.
I heard balance earlier. When you're able to balance your brain, you are at equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
When you're able to balance your brain, I honestly believe that's when you activate your pineal gland. And that's just my experience. So I've been so left brain for like the past 20-something years. And then in addition to all the changes in the tax administration, it threw me off. And now I require that right brain. And I agree with you about the cursive, but if the cursive writing also allows students to take notes quicker, you know, because they're writing fluently. It's like automatic writing when you write in cursive versus block.
Yep. So
and
they
it's
took
so
it out
sad
of the whole system.
We have a whole generation.
Yeah.
That don't know.
They took it out of the school system to cripple the mind stimulation and the natural ability to write magic from sagiling, because cursive is actually sagiling the letters. So you're blending the letters and the numbers in your writing when you write in cursive.
Okay.
When you write in cursive. So it's we said it differently, but we said the same thing.
All right, you guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate class today. I really, really do. And I just have one quick question, though. I have one quick question.
Okay, I'm going to wrap up after this,
could you make a recommendation of a good book that could introduce me to the Orishas and the deities?
Oh, I have that. I have that right here. What you're gonna do is you're gonna go online to our radio broadcast online, and once you go to online, find this particular show, the Orisha Show, and I have provided a link for a direct purchase for the book you need to get. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
There is a group on Facebook that you can. If you don't mind, I can add you, or you can look it up. It's called Ifa Land. And
I'm going to add me to that. Is it for women only?
That are available for the Orishas, books, information, things of that nature.
Okay, and I'm going to send you a private message so you know who I am, because I am your friend on Facebook. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. I fall back.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate you. All right.
Thank you.
Auntie, can you add me to that? You're welcome. Auntie, can you add me to that group, or is it women only? Or?
The Ifa Link? No, no, no. Uh-huh. I'll add you. Sure.
Okay, yeah, please.
I'll add you.
Add me to that. All right, you guys. Grasping the Root of the book is called Grasping the Root of Divine Power. All right? Grasping the Root of Divine Power. And the author, his name is spelled HRUYUYATASSAAN-ANU. All right, so just remember, Grasping the Root of Divine Power, the How to Be an African series presents. You know what I mean? So, but again, guys, the link is provided within the show notes. This is, it's so much stuff in this book, guys. I wanted to touch on a lot of stuff, but this is a very enlightening topic, you guys. But self-education, you know what I'm saying? The learning becomes a hobby. You know, the learning becomes a hobby. I'm sorry, I got Bluetooth. The learning becomes a hobby, you guys. So, you know, have fun with it. You know what I'm saying? The learning does not have to be like a chore that you do, like we were conditioned in school. You know what I'm saying? Those classes that we didn't take. If it's a class that you don't want to take, or you know, that's just not your vibe, you know what I'm saying? You can just keep it moving. You know, you don't have to be to pass that class. All right? So please be sure to join us tomorrow. Oh, my God. Tomorrow, you guys, we are having a very we're having a conversation.
Needed.
All right, let me just put it like
a
that.
A very needed conversation.
It's the gay agenda. The gay agenda and as it relates to dark psychology. All right? I feel that the nasty root in the gay agenda has a lot to do not only with the criminalization or the, you know, agenda to, you know, emasculate, you know, the black man, but I feel that it has a lot, like, why would this be going on? You know what I'm saying? Is this maliciously inflicted, you know, on these young innocent boys to, you know, were in ages to where they're not able to remember? You know what I'm saying? Have they perfected this down to a science? You know what I'm saying? That these boys don't even remember what happened to them as far as what was influenced to them. You know, and then to carry it out, we use dark psychology. You know what I'm saying? Playing on one another. What the fuck are we doing? Are you serious? This has been going on how long, really? You know, like,
and it's not even a gender thing. It's children. Period. It's
children. The children. But you know, in understanding to overstand, you know what? I make sense of a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying, on this plane. But this one is very challenging. When you fuck with the children, y'all better be lucky I'm not in charge. Y'all better be lucky I'm not in charge of some cosmic shit. Is all I got to say. When you fuck with the children, oh, baby. So we're going to have a balanced conversation when it comes to that, Auntie. Eternal, y'all, you know, I appreciate y'all so much because y'all know how hard this one is for me. But dark psychology as relates to the gay agenda, you guys, because here's the thing. Underneath all of this shit, we have to think, why do we have these things in place to take a certain people off their square? You know what I'm saying? This is an energy that invaded our planet. The real Christopher Columbus shit. An energy that invaded our planet. You know what I'm saying? So
the real boogie man energy. Boogie woman
come on.
Energy.
You're the parasite. The real COVID-19. The real virus. Okay? If y'all really want to get into it,
is this energy that invaded our planet through portals, not just on a ship, but through portals is how they got here. All right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we're going to get into it tomorrow, guys. That's going to be a very interesting broadcast. Man. But please study dark psychology. And to any of you guys that are listening, if you want to know how they did it, if you want to know the game that's being played, study dark psychology. All right.
Go back and ask yourself, do black lives really matter? Because the agenda that it's being pushed by and with has nothing to do with a color, but a lifestyle. Be aware.
You know, the whole black alone, you know what I'm saying? One day we're going to get away from that, but the whole I'm black, that is a fucking program.
Yep.
Sold to us. The black and slavery, all of the big wigs give y'all are the biggest programs to take you off your fucking square. We better pay attention.
Yes.
We better pay attention. All right, Auntie, your wrap-up.
My wrap-up for today is just be. Be who you are in the now. And know that you matter. Not what's the matter, but know that you matter. You are matter. Mm. And because you are matter, you are the reasons for the seasons in your life. You are not necessarily dealing with outside issues. These are internal issues that you have activated your ability to block. And this is where we get stuck sometimes, and this is where we get lost sometimes, or what we deem to be lost. You're never lost. You're always where you're supposed to be, according to you. The question is, how did you get there, and why are you still there? So ask yourself. Mm. You are your greatest magician. You are your greatest musician. You are your greatest you. You are the only thing that is never going to leave you. And you have the power. And one day, we're going to create a space where we give rites of passage to the powers that we're activating so that you understand the you in them and how to use them effectively, accordingly. And from a place of love. In your 361 of you recognizing you in your 360. Ashe.
Ashe. All right, Eternal.
Power, power, you power, power to the people. Power
yes.
to the people. We got power.
Yes.
Yo,
yes.
How about they said, Beyonce said you can't take my power, but it's not about Beyonce, is it? It's just about the message. We already know she's Italian. So when you say black is king, we already know black is a Christ,
with
a Christian. Look,
I
so we're just dealing
you.
With what is the bay once as the obey once. When you obey once, then you see what's the obey in the first place. It could be some season. So now, what is your reason? Are you an emperor or are you just trying to call yourself a king? You know, a king could just be a little ting, little K-I with a king of yourself. When you actually are more than a king, you're as great as a pharaoh, you're as wide as a deity, you're connected by the godly things that we do. So as a creator, or is it a motivator, just only motivate molds? You know, you can make stuff, but you can also create stuff. Now, the thing is about the Orishas, I know it seems like it's a hard thing. Like, how am I going to actually figure out who is who? Well, you do it like you did the comic books. Go one superhero at a time. You'll find out everything you need to find out about yourself because, you know, every superhero has a supervillain. That's why it's an alias to even your name. You can choose up to five of them, Shango. So how heroic are you when you think of yourself? Or do you think of yourself as evil as Set? You know, Set is not a bad actual person. They made Set a bad person because it was just a personification of what we do when we use the bathroom. You know, some people don't like using the bathroom. But yet, the bathroom is a good thing to do, right? So just like that, we could be saying and poo be how you want to use the bathroom. As a dog would dog you out, but so would a dog dog ma. And that's where you get dogma from. So don't be a dogma of your own mother. create to yourself as you know what you was created by, the influence. And your influence does give you power. And then when you have power, you can have a position. Congratulations. You now just reach the three and third chakras, the three dimensions. Now how do you mention yourself? 3 times 8? Or do you say 3 plus 8, which could equal 11? Or 3 times 8, which could equal 24? And then yet you have 6 in the mix of 2 and 4, but 2 plus 4 is 6. So how do you mix yourself? Or do you 2 times yourself with a 4 and equal 8? How do you 8 yourself? Either way, your 7 is in heaven if you know how to get there. If not, it's a hell and you couldn't tell. As the head is your tail. Tail to your head. Now, what do you tell to your head? Or what do your head to your tails to do? So now, as you are retiring yourself, what kind of tire do you feel of yourself when you're tired? You know, are you exhausted like an exhaust pipe? Or do you know you're exhausted? Exhausted. As your exhaustion could be gas, and we call it ethers. Learn your space as your time. Time is emit backwards if you look at it. So how does the mind actually think when it sees things forward as much as it could be backwards? Be in tune with what you're centering yourself as. See and enter. So center yourself. Meditation is everything. Get addicted to it. It's a higher vibration to your medium of knowing your left and your right and your left. So some people say you're wrong, but is it wrong or could it just be left from your right? I know people like leftovers. Some people don't. However, leftovers kind of tastes better than actually when it was cooked the first time because, you know, all the nutrients and everything has soaked into it and stayed overnight like a 24-hour store. You can taste the hardcore energy of yourself being a core, not so hard. Know your soft side, masculine and feminine, and then there's that bonding of the two. We call it Zen between the yin and the yang. As the 13 becomes one again, that's that oneness of the head. Head into who you are and not just head out of what you was. Now, you know, the constellational change from this Gemini, Dionysus, we're going into Cancer. So how do you feel when you get to it? I say, ooh.
Ajalorum, winnie, winnie, me bear my answer, afifi, jeje. Foufou léger, yawa, oh yawa, ache.
Iba, oh ya, achalaya, achalorou, winnie winnie, miba, miba, ma.
Ajalaya, ajalorum, winnie winnie, mi be my answer, afifi jeje, efufu leje, yawa, oya. ya de o ya de o ya o ya de o ya de o ya de o o ya de o ya de o ya get in o ya de o ya de o ya o ya de o ya de o ya de o
o ya de o ya de o ya
o ya de o